Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, we're talking D'Angelo Russell, potential trade destinations. If the Wolves were to trade D'Lo, where could he end up? What would they potentially get back? What's his trade value? We're debating it all today on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. Today's episode is brought to us by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. And of course, now the NBA Finals are set. We know who's playing in the finals. Warriors Celtics should be a ton of fun starting later this week on Thursday. Today on the show, lots to cover. I want to talk all things D'Angelo Russell and potential trade destinations for D'Lo. First, a big thank you for making Locked on Wolves your first listen every day. Locked on Wolves, of course, is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked on Wolves and all Locked on programs. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked on T Wolves. Don't forget the T and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. So I want to talk D'Angelo Russell. And of course, you know, finals are going on. We're starting to gear up for the draft. We did a little bit of draft talk here on the show late last week, but I want to talk D'Lo. And this is partly spurred by, there was a piece over at basketballnews.com by, Nikias Duncan, who does a fantastic job, really good writer, on some podcasts as well. And it's a pretty well thought out piece related to potential trade destinations for D'Lo. And so I want to go through some of the ideas he had and give my thoughts, on, you know, again, this is somebody who has a more national perspective and doesn't watch as many Wolves games, but a very well thought out piece regarding how D'Lo does and doesn't fit with the Timberwolves moving forward. But I want to focus more on the potential landing spots that were mentioned in this article. First of all, let's talk about the overall philosophy first. And I did this a few weeks ago. It was kind of right after the playoff series, because the hot button issue, of course, with D'Lo being benched at the end of game six, which as expected has been a little bit blown out of proportion, I think, and even a little bit in this piece by Duncan over at basketballnews.com, because it was one game, right? And yes, he's one of your max players. Yes, he didn't play at the very end of the game, but given the way he was playing, it wasn't a crazy decision by Chris Finch. It was a really gutsy decision, I guess, if you consider the implications. But obviously, D'Lo's game fits the Timberwolves, right? The cliff notes are D'Lo had arguably the best season of his career, certainly defensively, one of his better offensive years, you know, right up there with his All-Star season with Brooklyn 4 years ago, I guess. And you could say this year was right on par with that. He got to the line a bit more. Yes, the three-point shooting was down, but, you know, everything else was pretty on par with the best season of his career. The problem is that the high variance in his performance, right? D'Lo is very rarely just consistent. He either is fantastic, performing, producing at an all-star level, or he's not good. And we saw both of those sides of D'Lo in the play-in / playoffs. If you look at those seven games combined, he had a couple great games, three, four really bad games, and only a couple games where he was just kind of okay, right? And when you have other guys who are a little bit more consistent, but have some variance in their game with Ant and Karl-Anthony Towns, you know, generally speaking, again, the playoffs, if you look at the body of work over the course of Towns' career, he's been very consistent. Ant is getting there. D'Lo's always kind of been this up and down type player. And you look at another high usage guy. Yes, he can distribute. Yes, he's a good passer. But you want the majority of your offensive possessions going through Ant and Karl-Anthony Towns, both of whom are legitimately three-level scorers who you know, are dynamic with the ball in their hands. D'Lo isn't really a three-level scorer because he doesn't get to the rim much. Yes, the free throw rate improved a little bit, but it was just as much because of the rip-throughs and stuff on the perimeter as it was actually getting into the paint. Even though we saw those tries tick up a little bit, especially early in the season, I think when he was fresher, he got into the paint and to the rim a little bit more frequently. But Ant and Kat both can score at all three levels. They're both efficient enough from outside the arc. And I think given another year, Ant will be a better three-point shooter than D'Lo. We see him continue to improve. Kat's one of the best shooters in the league, you know, full stop, regardless of whether or not we're talking about big men or in general. So D'Lo is a little bit more high usage than what you need in that role. Now, remember when Gerson Rosas acquired him a little over 2 years ago, Anthony Edwards wasn't anywhere in the picture, right? The Wolves had no idea they'd have the number one pick. They had no idea they'd have Ant. And of course, there was no idea that they would have Ant as good as Ant is now, 2 years in at just 20 years old still, 21 in the fall. So D'Lo now becomes a little bit superfluous in terms of what he can provide. You'd rather have somebody that's a little bit lower usage, more of a movement shooter type guy, or somebody that is fine facilitating but can also knock down an open jumper, which is one of the reasons Patrick Beverley, even though he's not really a pure point guard, is such a good fit with the roster because he's so good defensively at the point of attack. He's a very good team defender. He doesn't need the ball in his hands offensively, but he can knock down an open jumper, even though we saw his three-point shooting actually not be that good this year compared to where he's been for much of his career. It's likely that bounces back next year. It's also why Jordan McLaughlin's an effective fit with this team. But, you know, can Jordan McLaughlin's probably as good as he was in getting those crunch time minutes late in game six. He's not a viable option in terms of a starter, you know, somebody becomes a point of diminishing returns with him, right? If you play Jordan McLaughlin 30 minutes, I love Jordan McLaughlin. There's some guys that are just, if you overextend them, they become exposed. And I think he's much better as a 18 to 20 minute backup or whatever, you know, and can play heavier minutes if needed at times and spot starts or, you know, if he's playing really well in depending on matchups, et cetera. But he's not a 30 minute a game every night guy. So if you're trading D'Angelo Russell, what are you trying to get back? Who are some teams that potentially could trade for him? Because the other piece of this is, who's trading for D'Angelo Russell's max contract right now, especially with only 1 year left, right? He's a free agent next summer. So what is his value on the trade market? And what are the Wolves willing to take back when they know they've got this big expiry next summer? Because if they don't move him, they get that cap space. Do you really want to take back salaries to clog up your cap for future years and trade out a guy who, even though he maybe isn't, in my opinion, he isn't worth a max contract, he's still your third best player, almost unquestionably after Towns and Anthony Edwards. So you don't want to give him away for nothing either. So it's a really interesting needle to thread. And yeah, I've broken this down a little bit on the show before. I talked about it right after the playoffs, kind of like two or three shows right after the Wolves were eliminated. And then I had Chilanga Langus in on, and we did a full D'Angelo Russell review podcast and talked about the quandary surrounding D'Lo. But now I want to get a little more specific about potential trade partners. And again, credit to basketballnews.com and Nikias Duncan for some of these ideas. I'm going to pick it apart a little bit and say which ones I like, which ones I don't, make some substitutions in the potential, you know, the proposed trades by Nikias. So we do that here next. First, let's talk about the title sponsors of today's show. And that, of course, is our friends over at BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find out all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including the NBA playoffs and, of course, now the finals. Fascinating to see how the lines are going to move in this finals matchup between the Warriors and Heat. It feels like we're, you know, 4 years ago, we're talking Warriors Heat, or 5 years ago, Warriors Heat, that we're back to two teams that have been in the finals or in at least their conference finals so frequently over the past decade. Plus MLB scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, it's now officially draft season now that we're past the draft lottery. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board show. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock drafts, player rankings, and, of course, Big Boards. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. It's the perfect time to listen to that show. Again, ramping up draft coverage here at the show, getting caught up on all the prospects and potential scenarios for the Wolves at number 19, as we talked about on Friday's show last week. So go back and listen to that if you want a quick primer on where my mind's at related to the Wolves and the draft this year. Okay, let's talk about the first proposal here from Nikias Duncan over at basketballnews.com and my thoughts on some trade partners, potential trade partners for the Timberwolves and D'Angelo Russell. So one that I've seen a few other places, and if you watch any of the sometimes admittedly clickbaity articles that talk about where could D'Angelo Russell go, and you see these a lot with the larger market teams, of course. The New York Knicks are a team that is always supposedly in the running for every potential big name. D'Angelo Russell is a bit of a bigger name than he actually is in terms of production, right? He is a max player. He played in Brooklyn. He played for the Lakers. He had the high profile, you know, he's a fun player to watch. He was an all-star with the Nets. When he was the Lakers, of course, he had the well-publicized locker room issues early in his career, the way he handled himself. So there's a lot. Everybody wants to talk about D'Lo. Everyone wants to talk about the Knicks. So, of course, the Knicks are going to be talked about as a potential destination. I don't love them because as a potential destination for D'Lo, I think it's possible because I think that the Knicks, again, are always chasing. I know the front office is different than it used to be and probably much better than it was several years ago. But they're always chasing the name, right? And D'Lo is somebody who the name is going to sell some tickets or you know, create some buzz or whatever it is, the positive headlines or whatever they want at Madison Square Garden and in Knicks land. But I don't love what the Knicks have to offer in terms of their roster. I mean, Nekias Duncan talks about the Wolves getting some combination of Alec Burks, Derrick Rose, Nerlens Noel, because you're in the ballpark of D'Lo's number at that point. And perhaps you get a pick as well. I really like Alec Burks. I actually think he'd be pretty much a perfect fit for Minnesota. You could play him at the two and Patrick Beverley at the one alongside Edwards at the three. I mean, that works. The fit's not seamless because Ant's there. But in terms of what Burks can provide, I think it would be an extremely positive acquisition for the Timberwolves. Now, the problem is he's the only guy on that list that I'd be excited about acquiring, and he only makes $10 million. He's got 2 years left on his deal, so this upcoming, the 22-23 season, and then the following year. But Alec Burks was really good this year for the Knicks. He has really blossomed late in his career. He's now 30. His three-point rate is greater than 50%, meaning he shoots almost 53% of his shot attempts come from outside the arc, and he shot 40.4% from three. He was only 39% overall. So again, let's see, 37.8% on twos, which is brutal, but 40% on threes is great. And he's not super high usage. I mean, he can be, and he can, you know, he's happy to score, but he's more of a movement shooter. He's somebody who, you know, isn't going to demand the ball in his hands a ton. Maybe not quite as prolific in the open floor as, say, Malik Beasley, but good in enough areas, a very good three-point shooter, and all around had a better year than Malik Beasley. And also, I should say, better defensively than Malik Beasley as well. So I would say Alec Burks at this stage in his career is a legitimate two-way player, and he wouldn't need to attempt any twos, really, in the Wolves' offense when you've got Ant, you've got Karl Anthony Towns, you have, to a lesser extent, you've also got your Jaden McDaniels. You've got, you know, if Beasley still ends up on the roster, although it gets tougher when you have Burks as well. But there's enough offense that the Wolves would have where you really only need Burks to be that movement shooter, to be a spot-up guy on the perimeter, to do a little bit in transition for you, be good defensively, help ignite the break. But the need for an Alec Burks, or I should say the fit of an Alec Burks is far better than the fit of anybody else potentially in this trade. Derrick Rose doesn't really fit the Wolves well because he's not good defensively. He's not a good three-point shooter. He was good this year for the Knicks, I'd even say. He can still get to the rim, and that's the element he would add to the Timberwolves. But I don't know what he gives you beyond, say, Patrick Beverley, who's a better defender. Like, the offensive game, he's a worse three-point shooter than Pat Bev. He's a worse defender than Pat Bev. He can get to the line a little bit more. You could argue he's still probably a better passer than Beverley. I just don't know what that fit looks like. I mean, I guess he becomes your starting point guard in that scenario. He had injury issues again this year. He's still got a couple years left on that deal. I wouldn't have interest in bringing Derrick Rose back to the Timberwolves. And Nerlens Noel's mentioned. I like Nerlens Noel. He fits what the Wolves need, right? A rim protector, a backup big. There's things that Nerlens Noel could bring to the Timberwolves that'd be valuable, but he hasn't been a full-time player much at all. There's certainly limitations there. You still have Naz Reid at a reasonable deal, and Noel's a better defender, obviously, than Naz Reid. I don't know. And these guys are all two-year deals, by the way. All three of these guys, Rose, Burks, and Noel, all have 2 years left on their deal. So now you've taken D'Angelo Russell's expiring contract, and you've traded it, and you've taken back three deals that add money to your payroll for next year. And now you've begun to limit your options, right? Instead of having the ability to both trade D'Angelo Russell this year at the trade deadline, which would be a possibility if he's still on the team and an expiring deal, or the option to let him walk and get that chunk of cap space next summer, I mean, that's a really good free agent draft class, or free agent class, I should say. I know the Wolves haven't done much in free agency in the past, but new ownership, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of things changing, and also the ability to make trades next summer too. You're limiting yourself if you trade D'Angelo Russell and his massive expiring deal for three deals that are essentially, you know, each roughly between 30 and 40% of what D'Lo's current deal is, adding money onto your cap for 2020, you know, through the 2023-24 season. So I don't love the Knicks as a trade partner. I mean, if you can get Alec Burks, great, but you still got to find another 20 plus million to make the salaries match. And it's hard to do that with guys that you'd actually want to add to your rotation or add to your roster, I should say, take back that money and clog your cap for another year. I mean, just like high level, talk about some of the guys that are available next free agent or next, next free agent draft class. There's a ton of names out there. Let's see here. I've got a couple names of guys that'll be available next summer. I mean, like Chris Middleton, he's got a player option, but I mean, he could be a free agent. He's going to be looking for max money. Bradley Beal, kind of the same conversation, right? Either one of those guys you would love to add to your team. You'd rather have them than D'Angelo Russell. And you immediately have taken yourself out of the running if you make this sort of a deal. Again, it's unlikely the Wolves get these guys, but why would you limit your options moving forward to take back three guys, only one of whom is definitely going to be an upgrade to your rotation? So the Knicks will be mentioned as a trade partner. I just don't see how they're an attractive trade partner for the Wolves when it comes to D'Angelo Russell. I just don't see it. There's a couple other teams I want to talk about. I think the LA Clippers are a pretty interesting one. So I want to spend most of the rest of the time on the Clippers. So we're going to do that here next. And also a couple other teams too, but let's mostly talk about the Clippers here next. Okay. Related to the LA Clippers as a potential destination for D'Angelo Russell, I actually think it's pretty interesting. So a couple of the names mentioned by Nekias Duncan over at basketballnews.com are Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard, because those deals together would actually match with D'Angelo Russell, and you could get a deal done with those two contracts. However, I think Luke Kennard actually fits the Wolves decently well. I don't think Reggie Jackson does. Reggie Jackson is too high usage of a player, even though he killed the Wolves a couple of times this year. He's just not a positive player at this point in his career. I've actually, full transparency, I've never been the biggest fan of Reggie Jackson. I just don't think he's efficient enough for as much as he shoots. And I don't think he fits the Wolves. He's not a good enough defender. He's undersized. He's not a good enough shooter from the perimeter. Yeah, he provides the high usage scoring, but like D'Lo's a far more efficient scorer than Reggie Jackson. So I just don't know what you're gaining there. Luke Kennard at least is a good 3-point shooter. There is, he's not great defensively either, but he's better than Reggie Jackson. And there is something to be said for his ability to be a plus 3-point shooter. I mean, 2/3 of Luke Kennard's shots come from outside the arc. He again is a low usage player. He shot almost 45% from outside the arc this year. One of the league's best 3-point shooters. And he can provide, effective floor stretching, a little bit more of a can be high usage guy if you need him to be, but again, won't be with regularity, right? He's not going to be somebody who demands the ball in his hands. He could start, he could come off the bench, you could do a variety of things with him. He's got more size than Reggie Jackson. So I actually like Luke Kennard as a match. And my one hesitation there is he's still got a couple years on his deal. He has 3 years remaining total. But if you can get Kennard and you could get another piece, Robert Covington, he has 2 years left on his deal. And Rocco wasn't a fit for Minnesota as much as a small ball four, under Ryan Saunders necessarily as the head coach. But if Robert Covington could take on, say, the Torian Prince role from this year, remember Torian Prince is an unrestricted free agent. Rocco is a better version of Torian Prince. He's better defensively, in my opinion. He's a better team defender. Prince is fine defensively. I think Rocco is even better than that, even at this stage in his career. Generally, he's going to be just as good, if not a better rebounder. He's a more consistent. I shouldn't say he's necessarily more consistent from outside the arc, but you're not losing much, right? He's comparable outside the arc to Torian Prince. I just think he adds a little bit more. He's a little bit more limited offensively, but again, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for defense. You're looking for the ability to stretch the floor, the ability to be a cutter. And Rocco can do all of those things. He's got 2 years left on his deal. So you take Rocco, you take Luke Kennard. I don't think the Clippers do that for D'Lo straight up, even though the salaries would work. You're close enough. I think the Wolves would actually need to add a pick or two. So maybe it's Kennard and Covington, a second this year and a future second, or one of the seconds this year and a future first even. I would trade D'Lo in a first for Kennard and Robert Covington. I would seriously consider that. because I think that Kennard can plug in. He could start alongside Patrick Beverley if you wanted to. So you could have Pat Bev, Kennard, and Anthony Edwards in your backcourt on the wings as your starting lineup. You could bring Kennard off the bench if you trade Malik Beasley in a separate deal. And Rocco, again, plugs into the Torian Prince role, but actually would play more minutes. Remember, Prince actually fell out of the rotation a couple of times this year. And I think Robert Covington's, again, a better version of Torian Prince. So if you could swap D'Lo and his contract for Kennard and Covington, yes. It's the same thing I talked about with the Knicks, where you're adding some money for next year. We were talking about a guy in Kennard who's about to enter his prime, a guy in Rocco who's going to retain that trade value, and he actually would play, right? He's part of the rotation. I don't know that you could say the same about some of these other Knicks guys, whether it's Nerlens Noel or Derrick Rose. I just don't know that they make the Wolves better or would play enough in the case of Noel. Covington and Kennard would immediately be part of the rotation, would replace Prince and would replace D'Angelo Russell, and the team would be better. For the Clippers, it gives you a good passer to pair with, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, they would have their own, I guess, big three then, if you'd want to call it that. The hesitation, if I'm the Clippers, is you're giving up. Same reason why the Wolves would trade D'Lo, right? You're bringing in a high-usage guy that wants the ball in his hands to add to two superstars who feel the same way and are both better than D'Lo in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And you're giving up a couple of lower-usage guys who can knock down threes and, in Rocco's case, be good defensively. And now you're replacing them with a higher-usage guy. So I don't know that the Clippers jump at this unless they want to make a splashy move, as LA teams often want to do. They want to create their own big three. They want to bring D'Lo back to LA. There's some full circle elements there. Of course, he started his career with the Lakers. That's a possibility. I mean, if you could convince the Clippers to be interested in that, I think there could be a match there. And that would be fascinating if the Wolves could do that. Could definitely be a plus. There's a couple other teams mentioned in the article by Duncan that includes Dallas. I don't know that Dallas is a great fit for the Wolves in terms of being a trade partner. I'm not sure they would leap at the chance of making a trade with the Wolves either. So that's a possibility. I guess that was really the only other team that he went in depth on at all. But I mean, I think the Clippers are a fascinating potential trade partner. It does get a little bit tricky when you're trading in conference. Of course, we don't see a ton of like blockbusters in conference between teams. Like if the Clippers are relatively healthy next year, obviously they just played each other in the play-in with George and Kawhi. People are going to assume the Clippers will be better, and rightfully so. But the Wolves and Clippers are going to be in that same, you know, 4-6 seed neighborhood next year at the start of the season, where, depending obviously on offseason moves, people are going to expect the Clippers and Wolves to be battling it out for playoff position. So it would be a weird trade match in that regard. But it could be a really interesting potential match in terms of trade partners. So we're going to keep seeing these D'Lo rumors because, again, he's one of those sexier names that people want to talk about as a potential player who could be traded, a former all-star, a max contract player. And the Wolves are a fun team to talk about right now, too, as an up-and-coming squad. So we're going to keep hearing these rumors. And as they pop up, we'll basically go through the entire NBA over the course of the offseason for potential D'Lo trade partners. And I would put the Clippers, again, in summary, way ahead of the Knicks as a potential partner in terms of who I would want to deal with if I'm Tim Connelly and Sachin Gupta and the Timberwolves front office. There could be a match there. I think it's really interesting. Okay. Later this week, we'll do more draft talk. We'll keep an eye on the D'Lo situation. We'll keep an eye on the finals as we get to the end of the week. I guess that would just be Friday's show as they don't start till Thursday. But all that's upcoming here this week, and we're going to get more across the Lockdown Network, more into draft talk, mock drafts upcoming, and all that good stuff as well. So make sure to keep it locked here at Lockdown Wolves. Again, Lockdown Wolves is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Of course, you can also find this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes YouTube as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and Odyssey. You can follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon. The Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. A reminder, you can also listen to Lockdown NBA for your second listen. Thanks again for making us your first listen. Make your second listen Lockdown NBA. From the first jump ball of the play-in to the last possession of the finals, Lockdown experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.